8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
Record Initiation and Sun Eater was the one that was the least known by the super fans. You know, even some of the super fans just from doing like VIP meet and greets had heard the other ones, but we were able to keep Sun Eater like really locked down as no one had heard it before. So so we did a video. I had this insane idea to just do the whole thing with like SFX and green screen and have all these different characters and stuff. So it took me about like a good month or so of just heavy computer work and just with green screen backdrops.
Yeah, I actually sat on a couch for, I don't know, 12 hours a day. It took a long time. And even that, we even look at it and Sky's like, oh, you know, I wish I had another week here. And I think we have a lot of fun with what we do. So right. It's looking pretty trippy already. I was like, what else do you need? Like, how much more trippy do you need to get, Sky? And she's like, oh, if I just did this and this. I'm like, just chill out, man. Like, it shouldn't take this long to get a music. But she's one of these diehards. She wants to just do the everything and make it as creative as possible. So I almost puked when she first saw it to me because I've never seen anybody with a belly button with an eyeball in it. And I thought that was kind of gross.
Well, as it pops up.
Yeah. That kind of grossed me out. I was like, oh, what's going on here? So, but she's got a lot of weird ideas because we, you know, we're in it. Obviously, I helped film a lot of it, but I don't see any of it. I see all of it on a green screen pretty much. And then Sky was like 3 days before, maybe 2 days before she's actually like going to hand it into Napalm. She's like, here's what it is. And I was like, what
is going on? It's a little bit nerve wracking for Matt because I was like, I have nothing to show you. It's all like half processed. And he's like, we're days away from releasing this thing, Sky. Like, show me a little bit. So at least I know what our music video is.
But it's quirky as always. And it's zany as always. And like the people that get it, they're liking it. And you know, we do weird shit, man. What can I say?
So you're telling me you did not play on the Service of the Sun is what you're telling me.
I was not. You know, we've had comments of people taking us a little too seriously or, you know, but yeah, there's no ladders to the sun. There's no people with gold skin, but it's just imagery that we love, you know?
Yeah. It was like, how many outfits can I possibly do in one video? My challenge there. Every hair color.
Did anyone point out, they're like, that's actually not the sun. That's actually a star, you know, 82 on the, you know, any of that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of the comments sometimes.
Some of them were like, more like, oh, this gold pill you're talking about means you have no willpower and like typical troll shit where I was like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's just a music video.
It's just
video.
Weird.
Like,
it's just nothing's realistic.
It's not real, man. Like, it's like we do weird shit. If you don't know about us, that's cool. You don't have to like us, but taking us like literally is probably not the best thing to do.
So there's no meaning behind like, you know, take the red pill, take the blue pill. You know, you just like, I'll make the pill gold.
Yeah. I don't even know what Sky means half the time. I'm always like, oh, I just know she's weird, man. She just throws that shit out there. So.
Yeah. There's a very geeky side of me that really likes to create these little, almost like kind of storylines within storylines and references to other videos within videos into our crazy world of Psycho City. So the gold characters have showed up a few times and they're, you know, have the solution to everything is their magic gold pill. So it solves all the world's problems just by taking the one special pill. And it's kind of like all the different girls in the waiting room are all my different inner demons with different problems and different issues. And the sun, like going into the sun rooms was like their weird treatment center of like, we'll just throw you out into outer space. See how you deal. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. See, even when I try to explain it.
That stuff's good. When you drop into your mouth, Sky was referencing a lot of Monty Python stuff when she was watching a bunch of Monty Python stuff. And she's like, oh, I want to do this 2D stuff. And some of it came out pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those things that sometimes limitations actually make you
more creative. Are we reviewing our own video?
No, I like it.
You're like critiquing it. I'm like, hey, that's okay.
Well, like, for instance, I don't know how to do like 3D animation very well. It takes another level of computer processing power to do that kind of stuff. So sometimes when you're limited and you're like, oh, well, I can only do certain things or 3D thing, like 2D things that I know how to do, it almost like just makes you be creative within your parameters. And you know, I'm pretty much working this whole thing on a laptop and it's like a robot watching it. So I was like, I'll make the moves of the girl robotic when she's putting me in her mouth so that I can actually see what it looks like when I'm playing it back.
We're thinking about trying to figure out how to invest in a better system so our Sky's Crazy ideas can come to life faster and more efficiently. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So when you're filming the green screen, I mean, in your head, do you have what's going on for real? And
yeah, but some of it's figured out, some of it's like I'm gonna figure it out in post. So like, for instance, I knew I wanted everyone performing on different platforms in front of like a big sun, and in some of the green screen shots we just kind of drew like a rough shape for everyone to stand on. But in hindsight, it was very thin. And then I was like, how do I make this look like it's an actual platform? So there's, you know, certain changes that I tried to do in post that I'm like, oh, I wish I thought of this before we started filming. And we also have a new drummer with us. Joey's playing drums in this video. And he has long hair. Oscar has long hair. And I have long hair. And that's one of the hardest things to key out on a green screen is whipping hair. So whenever I was like getting to match shot, I'm like, oh, finally, a little less work on this one. Because there's much hair flying around.
But I think, it's like our typical, what I consider D or B style culty video stuff. That's what we do. So it looks good to me.
Yeah, it definitely fits in the catalog of the Sumo Psycho videos.
Yeah, I find with the colors too, it definitely sticks out of like, okay, that's what they do. The little crazy, colorful, changing her hair all the time kind of vibe is, I love that. I love creating characters. So it's how many different characters can I fit into one video really?
Let's see here. A couple things in the chat room here. It says Ace G. I love these screen names. We're going to call him Ace. Hey, from Denver, when are you guys coming back?
Ah, well, touring has been a challenge for Sumo Psycho, being that we are in Canada, which has a border between us and the States, which has had its problems. And then trying to get overseas is also a huge issue with the pandemic. So we had to unfortunately postpone, like we mentioned, our UK tour that was supposed to be happening now.
We postponed everything until 2022.
Yeah.
So some of the talks right now, it'll probably be between March and April that we'll probably be in Denver area, I would bet. It sounds like we're already starting
to
line up
some
stuff. Yep. So which I can't say everything yet because it's not completely, but I think it's going to be that way. As long as everything works out, we'll probably be hitting the States in March.
Yeah, I think everybody's shooting for that early 2022. There must be a magic pill coming, maybe a gold one.
That's the pill you've always been talking about. You know, maybe just giving it that extra month. People are already doing shows. England's doing shows. People are doing shows. So I just feel like that extra bunch of months, a bit more regulations, a bit more.
People have stuff figured
out. Yeah, everything's a little, maybe not perfect, but it'll be a little more figured out. And I think that, you know, and I don't want to do January, February. I don't think anybody should go out touring in January, February. Just
too cold.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to like South America or something. You know?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we're going to get it back out there. So everyone watching wants to know, we're going to try to make it happen as soon as we can next year. So.
Nah, Mr. Bargains asks, what is your favorite video that you've done?
I don't know. Do you have a favorite, Maddie? What comes to mind first?
I have
We've done like over 35.
I have two now. Right. I have our early one, Go, 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 is one of my favorites. It just has this long story arc that I love. And I like Love You Wrong that Sky did like for the beginning of this record. I was just watching that a couple nights ago. And that was one of those ones we really took a little more about trying to shoot like a film, filming it a bit more. Mm-hmm. Like it was a different way we attacked it, but like even more seriously. And there's something when I watch it, I just like, it's, you know, there's something that just looks a lot more, there's a polish
it's
that I
like. It's very practical.
Yeah,
like everything
it looks
we
nice.
Did, we tried to practically create rather than all the
crazy stuff. So it looks really good. But like, I love all our stuff. You know, I'd like to think I'm pretty involved in everything we do most of the way, especially the earlier stuff. Sky's these past new ones, Sky's brain's really in her own world. But I like everything we do. So those would be my two faves. What about you?
Bystander's still a fave.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
I think I impressed myself with pulling that one off because I was kind of unsure when we started working on it. It's one of those a lot, like, through the window. How am I going to make a I'm acting like I'm going to see a giant spider come through the window, but am I going to be able to pull this off in post once I get the footage into my computer?
The jumping out of the window, the falling through the sky, there's some cool stuff we came up with that are looks amazing. I still think looks quite good. You're right. It's a great video, too. Yeah, they're all good videos. Fun. I mean, I'm in the band. It's really hard not to say I don't like anything.
Yeah. It's Bystander now, yeah. So that was like basically all the stuff happening outside the window was all just like I had to make it up as I went along through editing. So I didn't know what exactly was going to happen outside the window. So I just like filmed a ton of different reactions of myself looking out the window and then trying to fit it all with what was happening. So, and we used a miniature for a house at the beginning. So that's like a miniature house that I built. I just bought it online and put it together with a glue gun and then tried to make it, you know, the interior and exterior match.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
And then we did a bunch of green screen making. Yeah, it was a good time. It's always an interesting thing because we're always trying to learn more. So this one, we pushed ourselves filming on green screen more than we ever have. Not that we did it perfectly. We learned, oh, this is what we have to do next to get it even tighter, even better. And Sky spent hours doing effects that I'm sure she probably learned some new techniques walking through that she's like, holy, you know, I got to figure out how to do this faster so I'm not this many weeks. And because there are some days you were like,
yeah,
pretty annoyed with how like stuttery. So it's just about learning. And that's an awesome thing is that process. It's just I think that's why we've survived so long is creating our weird videos together.
Yeah. And kind of cutting corners too, because, you know, we want to do as many music videos as we can. And there's not always like massive budgets for unlimited videos. So if we can do two for the price of one, it's like the fans get something extra and we put in that extra work to make something
put it into perspective. Like I love Napalm. They've been really supporting us really well. But like what they gave us as a budget for music videos, I would consider being able to pull off one to two music videos that are going to look okay, right? Like we're still new to them. They're only going to give us so much for music video videos. So, you know, we have to like try and spread that into what we've done six now so far, I think, for the whole thing. So, yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things you just got to figure out how to do it on a low budget, you know?
Yeah. And it's one of our kind of hobbies as well. Like I love film. I love making music videos. I love imagery and stuff like that. So it's really fun for us to be part of it.
Yeah, Matt, I believe the last time Sky was on, I think I made the joke of like, I know you guys are driving around and the neighborhood is like throwing stuff out and you guys slam on the brakes, go back and like rummage through everything, pile it into the car, bring it home, spray paint it a neon color and throw it in a video.
Yeah.
Sky heard her back doing that last time. We saw a big, huge screen TV. It's in the Vertigo video. And she's like, stop and get this. I'm like, dude, we don't need this huge thing. She's like, it's going to be so good. And we like threw in the truck and she was so proud. We got home. She's like, oh, I think I fucked my back up. Like the whole woman style. I was like, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Suffer for the art, right?
Yeah. Suffer for the art.
Yeah.
Hey, at least you're in Canada and you can get that checked out for free. So.
Yeah. Watch out for rats too. Any kind of gross animals.
Yeah. Something in the living inside stuff of what stuff. You bought, like the secondhand stuff. Oh my gosh.
The one nice thing, though, I mean, what you can do is if they give you the budget, then you can invest in yourselves, too. And, you know, maybe upgrade the laptop and things like that, rather than just spending it, you know, spending it on one video, turn around and invest in yourself a little bit.
Well, that's kind of our big thing for doing that. So, yeah, we talked and I can't wait to actually, you know, we've got these songs we just released. My brain's already thinking like more songs soon. So we've already started writing a bit and I can't wait to figure out how to make a couple videos shape for the new stuff, with some of Sky's weird ideas and maybe upgrading a bit. I bet we'll knock it out of the ballpark if we work hard.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I like this question here. Sabbath Costello in the chat says, what's the most dangerous video you've done? Has there been any falls, anything you guys were worried about?
Yeah, well, there's been a few. Well, other than the infamous ceiling fan getting knocked in the head with the ceiling fan.
Interceptor, she got cracked in the head with the ceiling fan.
Yeah.
Knocked her cold almost, maybe 6 stitches or something.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen the video, it's been pretty plastered over, like, you know, ridiculousness.
Some people don't know it's Sumo Psycho. Yeah. So it's just like
people have probably seen it even if they didn't know that they've seen it. And then in Limp, we caught me running and I fell over a log and cut my knee open. I still have a scar from that.
They tore your knee off. Right,
yeah, that was pretty bad. Nasty. And then we had the one in rolling off the car for Loose Cannon. We wanted to do me practically getting hit by a car. Oh, yeah, we rolled you
backwards off the car.
So instead of having a car actually hit me,
I reversed the car and she rolled forward. So,
that we reversed the shot, it looks like a point
goes up and over
the car.
But she bumped and bruised her pretty good on that one, too.
Yeah. I do my own stunts, everyone. I do my own stunts. So, so that's pretty good. And then we
upside down in Anti-Anthem, you messed up the back of your legs really bad. You were all fucked
well,
up.
Well, even in.
You were like, get me down. Oh, and in Vertigo, the ropes.
Yeah.
We had these ropes guys hanging through with their legs. And she's like, for 1 minute, just basically taking all her weight on these ropes that are just gouging into her feet. Man, she lost her mind a couple times. Get me out! It hurts so bad! Like, just losing her mind.
But actually, the one scene...
so you know.
In Sun Eater, when I'm supposed to be, like, holding on to the finger and kind of balancing on the finger, so I'm holding on to just this piece of 2x4 that we have on the ceiling. But then I was like, I want to be the width of a finger. So I had Matt put a bunch of like foam around it so it could be a little wider than me just holding onto a small thing. But then I was like, oh, put the nail gun through it. And then I was like, oops, that was a stupid idea, because now I'm like holding my hands over this foam, not knowing where there's nails sticking into it. So trying not to like have my hand be like jammed with a nail through it while I'm hanging on. So
we've had some ones. That's to the answer to the question.
Yes, we've been injured.
Those are a couple of dangerous, crappy things that's happened.
And then, Sky, when I posted today that you guys were coming on the show, Daniel Decay, who has a show on Knotfest Twitch, sent over his Diamonds video that Sky directed, and I believe Matt helped out on. So, I mean, you know, talk about like doing videos for other people. Do you like doing that too?
Yeah, I love it. Whenever there's like a lull with Sumo Psycho where I'm not as busy, yeah, I'll take on a few extra video jobs. And
if we like it, not if we don't like it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like,
I don't take on stuff I don't like.
Yeah, we're lucky enough that this band keeps us pretty busy. So, you know, if we're going to put on extra work, we want it to be fun stuff with people that we love working with. So
yeah, and Priya and Dan, they're good peeps. Yeah. That's a cool band, and they're good people.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun doing that, and I as a director, there's so much more. I feel like if I had like full time to devote to it, I could do a lot more stuff, but it's kind of like one of those learn as you go things. And I've never really been trained on how to do any of that stuff. We just have always done kind of what you said, is just
load
invest
the truck
in ourselves
up, get
and
more
keep
gear,
learning.
Yeah.
And then it was actually another act, a singer named Ashes back like a while ago. That was the first music video I directed for another person other than myself. And she just kind of asked me out of the blue, like, hey, I need a video and you're the best thing I got right here. So after I did that one, I kind of just threw my hat in the ring for a few other projects. And I've been able to work with a lot of really cool artists and bands from all genres, like country duos to rock bands to like even little kids. I did a bunch of like videos for music videos for some kids on YTV, the Canadian like kids channel. So yeah, it's been fun. It's kind of like a side hustle, you know.
Let's give a shout out to Miss May I. They look like they are raiding the chat with about a party.
Oh yeah, Miss May I, we did a video for them as well.
Projects
with them, so that was fun. Yeah, and we brought
good
for
guys.
One of the videos, I brought like a ton of trees into our loft space and just like had all these painted white trees and kind of like this dark room. And it was, you know, I just kind of come
shout
up
out
with
to
this,
Demetrius if he's there.
Yeah, I kind of come up with this crazy idea. And then I'm like, okay, now Matt, I need you to go to the forest and just forage for a bunch of trees and bring them back and put them in the upstairs. And he's like, okay. So he's a good sport with some of the ideas I have, because they can sound pretty crazy at the beginning. And then once he kind of sees where the vision's going, he's like, okay, I understand what you're trying to accomplish here.
Stephen J. Neptune Man says, when are you guys setting up your Twitch channel?
I know. We've got
Hey, Stephen. Steven. My heart, man. He comes with us everywhere.
Yeah.
Nice. I love you, Stephen.
I actually was thinking about that when we were getting this video together, and I was like, okay, I need a better setup where when we have, you know, because right now we're running everything off a laptop, but I need like a stationary setup for like my video editing, set up like a Twitch and get all the right mics in place. And like you have a setup that looks really awesome with a cool background, you know, all that stuff. So I need to work on that, but we're definitely wanting to get there. Yeah.
Well, you know, the tricks in the trade. I mean, this is just a corner. You know, if I turned it around, you're going to see all kinds of crazy stuff. So
yeah, looks good.
Looks like Ryan, our bassist, gave us a awesome stream. Yes, you did. So yeah, Steven also says, I remember when you did the video for Carly Joe.
Yeah, the country duo. So we went to the river and...
You did more than one video.
Yeah, we did a bunch of videos for those girls. They're a lot of fun. They're, they were very open to suggestion, which is always fun when you have somebody who's like not stuck on like one idea, who will be like, okay, sure. Like I'll have pink hair in this video and we'll go down river rafts and not be afraid to like get dirty a little bit or try some of that stuff. Cause some of the ideas do require, you know, some full on participation by the artist. You can't just passively just stand there. I remember one video I was filming with an ex Canadian Idol star, and it was freezing in February, and it's like you could see her breath and everything, and I was like, this looks so cool, but it's like you had to be down with being like super cold because it's not gonna work without it. So put yourself through the torture, get the good art.
She didn't like us though.
She didn't like being as cold.
She wasn't very happy with us. I remember she wasn't like I love doing this, like getting something accomplished. She was like, get this over with, like
you win some, you lose some.
It was just the reality of it.
Gothdar says, cold in Canada? Never. Was it like a Canadian diva situation, you know? Yeah. Like
she's really cold. It was freezing cold. And like some people like Skyle, she'll you know, get a bikini on and do crazy shit, whatever she wants in the cold. She was running down the street in one of our weird videos in like a boxer outfit in like a blizzard. Like she'll just do random stuff that doesn't freak her out. She was just jumping in the lake and it was like, it's October 13th or 14th now.
Yeah.
And it was really cold. But some people are just not as comfortable to lay themselves out that hard for anything. And this girl, she was cool. She just was like, man, this is our idea. We made her cold all the time. So yeah. It was like, we should have rethought our idea I'm thinking, you know?
But the one in the blizzard, that was like Matt, one night we're driving home and, you know, if you're ever driving a blizzard, you see that kind of cool look with the headlights just shooting. So all you can see is the snow just like whipping past your vehicle. And he's like, this would be cool if we had you running through this. And I was like, well, let's do it now because I don't know when it's going to have a snowstorm next. So it was like middle of the night, midnight, -30.
It was for a lyric video. Sky's like, oh, we're re-promoting a song that was out or something. So it was like a really quick way because to do a lyric video. It was just watching somebody freeze there and do just something zany. And I
was like, right?
Yeah.
Marissa, thank you for gifting a sub in the chat there. You know what would be kind of cool if you got a Twitch.
Whoa! You just got like a sub, like a submarine sandwich?
It's a less delicious sub.
Okay, I was thinking about
it. He's hungry,
apparently. Got gifted a submarine sandwich. That's awesome.
That would be awesome. If you could just gift me sub sandwich cards to maybe Penn Station or a Jersey Mike's or even a Jimmy John's, you know. Yes. Sure. That's funny. Yeah, he said I would love to be gifted a meatball sub. You know, if you did a Twitch, I think it would be great if you could just even stream while you're editing and just kind of show the people the process of editing. I mean, you could do so many things with what you guys do.
That's a good
idea.
Totally.
I was thinking about how, well, someone was asking about, are you guys going to do a behind the scenes of Sun Eater? And Matt wrote back to them in the chat being like, well, if you want to see Sky sitting on her couch for 12 hours with a laptop. And because normally we show like, you know, funny bloopers.
I have some stuff that we'll put together, but it's not like usual.
Right. So something like that where instead of just watching me. Like,
but you could do that thing where you have to capture the screen and they can watch it that way. You know?
Explain what you're doing so it's not just seeing me in silence, like tapping away on my mouse pad.
Good idea, brother. Good idea. Yeah.
If you start getting gifted sub sandwiches, you know, one's got to come this way. So, you know, I've always thought that you guys were one of those bands that, that during the pandemic, we're going to thrive because of the so much visual, so much video. And I think you guys have done that. And, you know, are you guys working on new music? Do we have another album coming out after Initiation? Are we going to just kind of wait until we can tour and really get behind Initiation? Where are we going?
No.
We don't want to wait.
We're not going to wait.
We're not going to sit on our butts. We're going to do more stuff.
We're going to try and get as much done. I think we're still going to play the songs for Initiation, but I don't think I can support it as like hopefully we're going to get out and push this thing the way I want it to when it gets dropped. It's just hard to get press and everybody to keep going back to something we did in February, right? And
right.
So to me, Sky and I talked about it because we kept hoping we were going to run this thing and just go and – although we still get to go out, I was like, if we're going to get everybody involved, if people want to, you know, if we're going to go out in March, whatever the date is we go, I feel like we have to have new stuff again to to go like, oh, here they are finally. But even press alone will go, hey, we can put something out. We don't want to kind of, you know, it's a revisiting's hard in this day and age, right?
Yeah.
You're only as big as the single you just put out or as new or current as the single you put out. It goes real quick. So I don't know when we'll get it done. I don't know if we'll have it done before we go, but I'd like to think that a new single for it, if I can push and get it right with Napalm, will be out before March. That's my plan.
Well, Sabbath Costello in the chat says, can't wait to buy all the merch when you guys come to, I'm guessing that's Leicester, England.
We're going to work. We were actually playing some tracks in the car. Sometimes it's a good time to like jam out melodies when we're in the car. We'll take the tracks in the car. So we were listening to some stuff on our trip back. So there's definitely some writing in our future.
And we have to work with Napalm on it because, you know, we're working with it as a team here. So they have to, we have to give them time to work with a release, but I don't want to sit for 2 years or something, try to build a long, we have the time. There's 5 months right now. We're not going anywhere. I feel like we can probably get a bunch of shit done. So,
and I'm being told that it's Leicester, England. So that is
corrected you on that. Sorry. That was my bad.
That's not Leicester. That's
but that's how you pronounce it. They really do.
Yeah. All right, yeah, my producer is in Britain. There's a bunch of British people just freaking out right now. Mazza, you can. I'm going to block you. I'm blocking everybody. Yeah, you know what? It's funny as I almost just skipped that word. I was like, you know what?
It's okay. I've done total call outs of like wrong city names in the actual city before, so.
Only twice. And me too. I've done it once. And it's the worst feeling in the world. Because you're like, you love who you're playing for. But, you know, you get into every night you're playing. And, you know, if you've done it too many nights in a row, your brain starts to slip a little bit. You've had too many drinks one night. And you're like, blah, blah, blah. And unfortunately, you're in the wrong town.
What's up, Cleveland?
It's only happened once. I think twice all the time. And we just try to correct each other right away and apologize a bunch during the set because we're Canadian, so we like to apologize a bunch. A
lot of sorry in there.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
Matt, it says, Matt, you did it when you were in West Palm Beach. So
probably the time. I'd like to think, maybe I've done it more now. Thanks, Steven. Thanks for having me on that one.
Yeah, way to go, man. Well, West Palm Beach is kind of in the middle of a bunch of different towns and stuff, so you might have just said Tampa or something. But Michael says, there's a company called Treat Stream that has a partnership with Twitch. Food delivery is their specialty. So,
ooh, that's how you get the subs.
There we go. So it's all coming together.
What world do we live in now where it's like you can send people sandwiches while you're, you know, on your streams, just being like, send sandwich. And it just like delivers to everybody. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Kind of good.
One of these days we will definitely just be able to, you know, a sandwich will shoot out of my, you know, computer tower.
Yeah. Well, actually up in Tobermory, we witnessed a pizza vending machine.
Yeah.
Have you heard of these things? Where it literally makes a pizza and spits it out of a vending
machine. Actually, I watched one of those. It was, I think you could, it was like a sponsored ad to where I could invest into these pizza vending machines. So,
well, there's one up where we were, and it was hilarious because there was this little guy was ordering, and it's like a little slot. It's very futuristic.
Yeah, it just feels like there's nobody in there.
Pizza just popped out, and he's holding and walked away, and there was nobody involved but him and the machine.
Too funny. Last question from the chat, Sky, who owns/stores all of the big fake heads from your old videos?
We do, and they're filling up our shed right now. in the back. We actually, Matt built a shed last year just so we could fit all of our music video props. Yeah, we don't like throwing anything away. You never know when you're going to need it again. So they're still there.
We have a lot of them.
Now we're seeing in Berlin, found a cheese vending machine, was so happy.
Nice. I saw somebody write that they were in Japan first. I can completely believe that. Yeah. Japan with the tech is always ahead of the game on that shit.
Yeah.
Too funny. All right. I'm going to play Sun Eater as we get out of here and actually play.
Oh, thanks for having us, by the way.
Yeah, too. Man. Anytime.
Again. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
It's always fun to have you guys, plus having the chat room to ask questions also. And, you know, big supporter of you guys. Definitely love having you guys on the show. And just tell everybody where they can follow you. We'll end with that.
Yeah, of course. It's Sumo Psycho, spelled SUMOCYCO. And you can check us out at sumopsycho.com across Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're on TikTok too. So, and hopefully next is our Twitch channel will be developing once I get my computer situation. So, and I think we already have the name. So just look up Sumo Psycho and follow us in advance.
Yeah, and thanks for watching everybody that came on and chatted with us. Thanks so much. We love you guys.
Yeah, good to hear from everyone on the chat. Thanks for coming.
Lester. Jonathan, man, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. How you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. You go by Jonathan, John?
Usually John, but either one's fine with me.
All right, no problem. It's funny. I mispronounced some English cities earlier, so now everybody's giving me crap for asking about your last name.
It gives a lot of people problems.
Yeah. No, it's not too bad, man. So how you been?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm glad to be able to play some shows with Anthrax, so that's been good. We've been doing some festivals after these staying at home and not being able to do anything for a couple of years.
Yeah, I saw you at Louder Than Life, and then I saw you were posting like Aftershock, I believe, over the weekend and things like that, man. So, yeah, you've been getting out there and getting to play some of the American festivals. That's always nice.
Yeah, and it's just been unbelievable. The crowds have been awesome, and man, I just missed that so much. Oh God, even the first one, man, I almost wanted to cry. I was so happy.
How long had you been off stage?
So the last Anthrax show was November of 2019, and then our first show back was in July.
When is the Shadows Fall show?
That's December 18th at the Palladium in Massachusetts.
Nice. In Worcester, right?
Yeah, it's a nice throwback bill. We got Unearth on it. We got Darkest Hours. It's gonna be like 2002 all over again.
So let's kind of go back. I mean, the show is Throwback Throwdown, kind of a history of how you got here type stuff. So just kind of growing up, you know, what was the kind of the couple of dudes that got you into wanting to be in metal playing guitar?
Well, the first band that I really fell in love with was Bon Jovi, and that was when Slippery When Wet came out in like '86.
Hey, I'm right there with you.
I was like 6 years old at the time. And MTV really wanted, you know, that was when MTV was playing all the hard rock bands. Like Motley Crue, Bon Jovi, Skid Row, and all that stuff. And that's the stuff that made me really want to play guitar. Once I got into guitar, which I think I started playing in '90, that's when like Metallica and Slayer came in, the real riff heavy bands. That's when my love for that kind of style came into play.
I remember being a kid, and in the little podunk town I lived in, we drove past a salon that said Bon Jovi haircuts $40. And that was like in the height of Slippery When Wet in New Jersey. I don't know what a Bon Jovi haircut would have been. I mean, maybe it would have feathered it up a little bit, but yeah, $40.
If you Jovi. Amazing.
Or you could have got like a Tico Torres, like a nice tight perm, little mullet going on.
Yeah, he had it going on, man. They all had some killer haircuts.
So we're probably roughly the same age then, because I think I started playing bass in like '91. So I was kind of, I'm always curious about the guys that are my age that kind of skipped over. I mean, were you in new metal bands? Did you get into the new metal stuff and then progress into, you know, the New England hardcore scene, basically?
No, I actually wasn't really into nu metal at all. Because when that came out, I was really into... So I went through the thrash thing. Then I got into death metal right after thrash. So death metal, my death metal phase was in high school. That was probably like 94, 95 when I got into bands like Suffocation, Morbid Angel, Deicide, yeah, stuff like that. And then after that, I got really into the Gothenburg scene, At the Gates, In Flames, that kind of stuff. Of course, Carcass Heartwork, even though they're not a Gothenburg band, that was like the first type of guitar record that was real melodic and heavy that I heard. And Heartwork completely changed the way I looked at guitar. And then, of course, then I heard Flames, At the Gates, and I really was drawn to that style while nu metal was going on.
See, that's what's funny is I liked Deicide, Morbid Angel, Carcass, love Heartwork. I actually, I've argued that the Heartwork was my favorite Carcass album. You know, a lot of people go with other albums, but I think Heartwork is just a flawless record. And it's funny you say that because I do hear a lot of that New England hardcore sound, the new wave of American heavy metal kind of goes back to Heartwork.
Yeah, exactly. That wouldn't, the New England metal sound wouldn't exist without Heartwork or bands like At the Gates. With Shadows Fall, we were trying to kind of blend the like a thrash metal, Testament, Anthrax mixed with At the Gates and In Flames kind of thing.
What's crazy about that scene up there is how incestuous the early days of that New England hardcore scene was. I mean, everybody was in everybody's band, you know, even down to where Phil Labonte was in Shadows Fall for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I went to high school with Adam from Killswitch, and Brian went to high school with Mike D from Killswitch. So a lot of us just even grew up together.
Getting Shadows Fall together. I mean, at the time, like I said, you know, nu metal's huge. You got all that stuff going on. But I mean, what you guys were doing up there, and I've said this a few times on the show on my other podcast and things, is like, I remember getting some of that early Unearth and even the early Killswitch, and we were all like, oh, we can play guitar solos again, you know, and just really that whole scene up there really changed, you know, what we were doing. I was in Nashville at the time. I mean, we were just like blown away by what you guys were doing up there.
Yeah, people were, it was weird. Like, it wasn't, a lot of bands didn't have long hair anymore, and a lot of bands stopped playing guitar solos. So it was almost like a new thing again, because it had been quite a few years, at least in America,
right?
That people have heard that stuff. And a lot of younger kids didn't know, like their first metal was nu metal, and they didn't know about the stuff like Metallica and Slayer. But as soon as they heard bands like Shadows Fall and Killswitch, a lot of those kids went back to learn about where we were stealing it from.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. We all grew up playing, you know, the Black Album and all that stuff, and, you know, Master Puppets and, you know, Rust in Peace and even the Anthrax stuff, man. So it's crazy that you've ended up in Anthrax after all these years. One show I wanted to talk to you about, I saw Shadows Fall at a Sounds of the Underground in Louisville at the Insane Asylum here in Louisville. And I was wondering if you remember that day. It was at the Waverly Sanatorium.
That was a festival, right?
Yeah, festival. I think that was the day that Gwar jumped on, or Gwar was on it, and Lamb of God jumped on it.
Was Lamb of God on that, Hatebreed?
Yeah. I think they both jumped on that date.
Yeah, I remember that day because I remember I was sick. I was sick that day, and right after our show, we went right back to the hotel because I was feeling like shit.
Also, you didn't get to experience any of the ghosts or anything in the sanatorium.
No, I wish I did. I was feeling so awful that day, and I just remember going right back to the hotel.
So do you remember a time, like, you know, when your group of friends and group of bands just kind of started taking over? Did you realize what was going on, or you know, did you see what was going on around you guys?
I kind of felt it after, like, when us and Killswitch did 2003 Ozfest.
Yeah.
It felt like tides were turning a little bit in the scene, and we started to do okay on record sales, so did Killswitch, and we really did well on that Ozfest. And then the next Ozfest, 2004, where a lot of our peers, I remember, like, Darkest Hour, Unearth were on it. Man of God, and it just seemed like things kind of changed into that direction where kids were really getting into that style of music.
What's funny about you and even Jason Bittner is like how you guys went from Shadows Fall into like legacy bands. You know, Jason goes to Flotsam and Jetsam to Overkill. You know, you go to Anthrax. What's the correlation there? Is there a correlation there? Like, was there something that happened where you guys kind of went not backwards, but, you know, backwards in legacy?
Yeah, it's crazy that we both ended up in bands that we grew up listening to. I still can't believe I'm playing with Anthrax. Every time, there'll be times where I look over on the left and I see those guys and I'm playing something like Indians or, you know, Be All End All. Right. I can't. I'm like, how did this happen?
Right. Well, I mean, I guess the question is, how did it happen? I mean, was there an audition process? How were you, how did Anthrax approach you? How were you, shop to them, whatnot?
Well, the way the Shadows Fall, pretty much we didn't break up because we wanted to, or we were getting fights or anything. It was more of a financial problem. We just couldn't keep our heads above water anymore. A couple of the guys in the band, had kids, got married, and once you do that, you really can't you can't be that selfish anymore when you have a family to provide for. You know, it's just you yourself. You know, you'd be like, oh well, I'll figure out something how to pay rent this month. But when you got a kid and wife, you got to really step it up and can't play that game anymore. After the writing was on the wall that Shadows Fall wasn't going to be around too much longer, and Anthrax asked me to fill in for a tour, so I went for that, and I got lucky where I got to stay with Anthrax.
So you just kind of slid right in there. That's awesome. How did they know about you? Did you, you know, were you friendly with them prior to that?
Yeah, I knew the guys because Shadows Fall played festivals with them, and we've all hung out and stuff, and always had good times together. And actually, the way I got the gig was from Rob Caggiano. He knew he was going to quit the band, and they had an Australian tour, and he just wanted to make sure that they were covered, and he didn't want to leave them hanging.
Right.
So he gave me a call and asked me if I'd be interested. And at first, I didn't think I could do it because Shadows Fall had some touring coming up, and I couldn't do it. And then after I talked to some of my friends and family, they're like, are you nuts, dude? You're not going to take this opportunity to play with Anthrax? And then something went off. I would go, yeah, you're right. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. So I did the same thing Rob did. I called my buddy Felipe. He used to play for a band called Acaro. I said, hey, dude, would there be a chance you could cover for me? I can't tell you why, but would you be able to cover the Shadows Fall tour for me? And he said he would be able to. So I called back Rob and I said, dude, I'll do it. And then I didn't hear anything for about a month. Figured they got somebody else. And then Scott Ian called me one night. And he said, hey, man, I heard you know what's going on. I said, I do. And he goes, can you do it? And I said, absolutely. And that was that.
Growing up, how much Anthrax did you play as a kid?
A lot, man. Anthrax was a huge influence for me. Probably one of the first out of the thrash bands because of Belladonna's vocals. When I was a younger kid, a lot of the vocals kind of scared me off for that style of music. I was still listening to more stuff like Tesla, Cinderella, more hard rock stuff than metal. And I liked Metallica. A lot of like the Slayer, like I couldn't get into some of the heavier bands yet. And Joey helped me cross me over that bridge because of his really melodic rock vocals.
Right.
So they didn't scare me off. I remember seeing the first Anthrax I heard was Antisocial on MTV. Do you remember Dial MTV?
Oh, yeah.
So I'd come home from school every day and watch Dial MTV, and I saw this band Anthrax, and I was like, this got a little harder edge than what I'm used to, but I'm digging it, man. And the vocals were really getting me. I was really into it because of the melodic vocals, too. So, Anthrax has been a huge influence on me.
Kind of digging into the catalog, is there times where you can tell, you know, trying to dig into a Danny Spitt solo as opposed to maybe a Caggiano solo or something like that? Are you trying to have to relearn things, or did you kind of take the Gary Holt approach where you're like, you play the most noticeable riff and the guitar solo, but you also play some of your own too in the classic tunes?
Yeah, I totally do the Gary Holt thing. when it comes to copping someone's style, I'm not great at doing it 100%. I do the big money parts, the big notes, the parts yeah. that are going to really stick out to you. And then I try to stay within the blueprint and still what the characteristics of the solo are and not try to go too far off it. So that's what I do. And I try to put my own stamp on it and my own flavor mixed with the other guitar players. So I try to be that guy a little bit along with me too.
And I'm assuming that the guys in Anthrax have given you that leeway to you know, do what you want to do kind of stuff with that.
Well, no, they said they want me to play close to what they're playing. Like, obviously they don't want me to go in there and rewrite the whole thing, right. But they also don't mind me putting my own flavor and spin on it too. But they don't want me to completely forget what was there and just right. go off. They want me to at least keep it in the same ballpark, which that's how I feel comfortable doing anyways. I wouldn't want to take somebody's guitar solo and act like none of it ever existed and just start doing my own things. I think that's disrespectful. I tried to come close, but me, it's just the way I am. I'm terrible at being copying something note for note. I've got to do it my way, but what's there.
Vic in the chat is asking, what is your favorite John Bush era album?
Sound of White Noise, for sure. I love that record.
Rock and Roll asked, what's your favorite metal album?
Favorite metal album? Man, that is tough. But
that's a big one.
Probably Master of Puppets.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, with Anthrax celebrating 40 years, and obviously, you know, yeah, you were probably two when they started the band. How has it been for you to kind of just let them, revel in 40 years as you kind of take part in all of these, you know, the shows and the tours and things like that?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Just to think of a band. Yeah. Cause I was 40 years ago. So just to think they've been together pretty much my whole life and they're still going strong. That's amazing. It's hard to keep a band together for 3 years, never mind 40 years. So, right. Man, it's awesome to watch, and it's so cool to be a part of it, and especially since it's something I grew up on and I love playing. So it's all awesome across the board for me.
I know you said you kind of pinch yourself and you look over and you see the other guys playing. What have been some of the memorable shows you've played with Anthrax?
Yeah, are you talking about the Anthrax tours, doing those with the Slayer bands and stuff?
Yeah,
those are amazing. I'd say the most amazing one, it's great to be a part of Slayer's final tour. That was nuts. But the craziest one was Maiden, because we went to South America on Iron Maiden's plane and toured with them. So, you know, Iron Maiden is like a religion over in South America. Right. It's just nuts. And just to be on their plane, you know, be in the bathroom, walk out of the bathroom, and Adrian Smith's waiting to use the bathroom. Just hearing Bruce Dickinson on the intercom come over right. over the intercom as your pilot, you know, because I've heard that voice a million times in interviews and seen him in interviews a million times. So he's totally pro. And he's telling you what the weather's going to be, how long the flight's going to be, and all that. And you're like, holy shit, that's Bruce Dickinson flying the plane.
Vic in the chat asks, could you envision the band doing a 40-year celebration with some of the former members of the band?
I guess they could if they want to. I think a lot of their fans like the former lineup, so I don't see why not.
I guess being in your situation, I mean, obviously if Rob came up or, you know, Danny Spitz came along or something like that, you know, would you be like cool with obviously letting them play some of their tunes?
Yeah, like it's their band, man. You know, yeah. I'm working for them, so it's all their decisions. So if something came out like that and they want to do it, I'd be fine with it.
I think we'd be kind of, you know, I get some of what you're saying with the, you know, what your position in the band, but I think you as a fan would almost be kind of cool to just sit back and watch some of the early guys get into the band together.
Yeah, absolutely. I was psyched, man, when that 2005 reunion happened, they got all original guys. I remember being so psyched to see that. We played that tour at Download Festival with them. And I remember running out to the crowd, being psyched with Matt Pichon, the other guitar player of Shadows Fall. We were totally stoked to go watch Anthrax.
As we kind of start to wrap up here, tell me a little bit about Living Wreckage. I think my favorite thing that I read about Living Wreckage is a cross between like Skid Row and Pantera. And I'm like, well, that's me. That's like, you know, my wheelhouse right there. So yeah, definitely was excited to hear it and definitely enjoyed it.
Oh, great, man. I'm glad you dig it. So once Anthrax got off the road, Anthrax kept me busy for so many years. I never really had the time to put something back together. And Matt and I from Shadows Fall always wanted to do something together again. He's one of my best friends and he lives 10 minutes down the street from me. So, once we got wrapped up the For All Kings tour, I started writing music and getting stuff ready. Actually, a lot of the stuff was written when I was with Shadows Fall. I just didn't have a band to put it into because Shadows Fall stopped. But then I wanted to start a band, and I wanted to get a melodic hard rock singer. I didn't want just a screamy guy. I wanted a rock singer again. I miss the style of vocals of rock bands where you could hear, you know what the band is as soon as you hear the singer.
Oh yeah.
And I think for a lot of modern metal bands, I can't tell one singer from the next. There's some out there, but it's hard to find for me unless I might be looking in the wrong spot too, because I'm listening to all my old school records a lot.
Right.
But I just wanted to do something that was like, that's right in the middle of heavy metal and hard rock. And not, doesn't mean one way too heavy or one way too much hard rock. I wanted to kind of find the middle of the road. So I was like, yeah, you know, somewhere between Skid Row and Pantera is what I was gunning for. So that's kind of what I was going for. Hopefully people dig it. We have an EP out right now on Bandcamp that everyone can check out. There's a couple videos on YouTube. We will have a full-length record coming out early 2022, so hopefully people will give it a shot and keep an eye out for it.
I guess I'll say final question on this one. Are you blown away by the groundswell of over the years of Shadows Fall, people wanting that band back together so bad, and the hype around this, you know, the upcoming show and stuff?
Yeah, it's been mind-blowing, and it feels great because we ended on a... You know, we weren't feeling great about the band when we ended. That's why we ended. It was because nobody cared anymore, and we just couldn't make our ends meet anymore. So just to have this one show sell out pretty fast like that, it sold out.
The Talk To Me podcast, presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.